Good morning, my fellow Michiganders. Good morning, my fellow Americans. I am not going to lie. Eddie already knows this because I've been talking a mile a minute. I have been extremely excited for this interview to talk to him about his spiritual journey. He has an amazing story. Eddie, thank you so much for coming on the Grassroots Army podcast, my man.
Thanks for having me, Garrett. I appreciate it, bud.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm going to direct people right now, just kind of what we were talking here just a few minutes ago. There is an interview that Eddie did with Sean Ryan, and it's on YouTube. And so if you just type in Eddie Penny and Sean Ryan, the interview is going to come up. It's 5 hours long, and it is worth every single second of your time. It is an emotional roller coaster. It's ups and downs. You'll tear up. It's very powerful. So just to like for time management purposes, I want to direct everyone to that interview. Go to YouTube, type in Sean Ryan and Eddie Penny, and it will come up. And hey, when you're traveling, when you're working, you know, just take bits and pieces of the bites of the elephant, get through it, because it changed my life, Eddie. It truly has.
That's awesome. The story changed my life too, man. So I get it. You know, just that it shows the power of transparency. You know, we find ourselves a lot of times like, oh, it's just me going through, you know, X, Y, and Z. But if we, you know, we start opening our mouths and kind of talking about it, it's like, you're going through that too. It's, yeah, you know, we're there to sharpen each other, right?
And that's what you're so good at, is you're so open about a lot of things that people don't want to talk about. People don't want to be vulnerable. And I think you're right, is if we're just vulnerable and we're transparent, we're going to be able to serve and help more. I mean, and that's why, I mean, we talked about your book last time you were on folks, and this is another unbelievable great reads. One of the best books I've read. Again, it's called Unafraid. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to anypenny.com and order it there. The book is just like the interview. It consumes you, and it's like we're in a room and we're just talking, and you're just so vulnerable. And that's why I'm a war buff, and I love reading about the history of battle and everything else. But one thing that you do, which a lot of soldiers don't do, is they talk about the battle at home. And that's one thing that you're very open, not only on the Sean Ryan interview, but also in your book, that, you know, you're open about, you know, the alcohol addiction and how you're just trying to numb yourself and get through. Because a lot of folks, for all of you that are watching right now, Eddie, you've been deployed 7 times?
Correct.
7 times, and mainly in Iraq?
Iraq and Afghanistan, yeah. No fun deployments. They were all combat deployments.
Okay. And one thing that I did not know until I listened and watched the Sean Ryan show was how quick you were like in. Like, you didn't have 2 weeks or 3 weeks to get prepared. I mean, you were right into battle within days of arriving. Is that true?
Yeah. It was pretty intense. I was very fortunate, and some might be like, what do you mean fortunate? To be, you know, start engaging with the enemy, like right off the bat, for pretty much every deployment. And I mean, the first couple deployments, before I went over to our elite unit, our tier one unit, it was not as, heavy. The combat wasn't as heavy. It was a good progression. But once I went over there, it was pretty like nonstop, you know, every other day, you know, sometimes days in a row. It was like that for every deployment. It wasn't a dull, time.
Yeah. And you talk, one thing that I was just listening to is when you talk about how you're almost like addicted to it, right? Like, yeah. you wanted to get out there. You wanted to get into the game. You wanted to shoot as many bad guys as you could. And there was no regret with any of that. You were there to do a mission. You saw the evil. We're going to talk about some of the evil that you saw and witnessed firsthand, but you were in the fight, and that just kind of consumed your life.
100%. Yeah. You know, we talk about always here, like, do you regret those shots? And, you know, when I sit and think about it, and the answer is the same every time, is I regret the shots that I did not take. And there's tons of examples of what that means, of, you know, not getting a suicide bomber in time before he clacks himself off and takes out his whole family with a few children right next to him. And it's like, you know, we have these rules of engagement. And a lot of times that can hinder us, you know, when we're trying to do the right thing. Sometimes it's not the right call. War is war. War is war. And people, you know, in certain administrations will like to say, well, we needed to be doing this, but it's different when you're on the battlefield. And, you know, we're talking about the drinking and all the thing, and we don't realize the battlefield that we are currently in right here in America, in our home, in our businesses, in our family. We don't see and recognize, you know, what that is going on. Therefore, we're blind. You can't fight something you're blind on. You got to identify it, then you can go attack it.
Yeah, you have a plan, right? And then
100%.
And then that plan will evolve, you know, just like Mike Tyson says, you know, everyone has a plan until you get hit.
And
then you got to change. And so let's go back to one of those encounters that you had, because I think it's important for folks to know, because you've talked a lot of times on hearing a voice, or you had a feeling during times in combat. And the one that I want to talk about is the gentleman that you took out that you felt a little different about.
Yeah, we did. We were going into a room, I was going through the crack of a door, and you could see in the back of the room, he was reaching in and pulling out an AK, and I took the shot. And I've taken dozens and dozens of shots similar to this one. And for some reason, something hit me weird. I wouldn't say wrong. It wasn't the normal. And I'm like, man, what the heck? But it was enough. It was enough to prompt me to ask my intel guy when we got back, our intelligence guy. I was like, hey, if we find anything from this guy, like in his, like on his belongings or whatever it is, can you please let me know? And I really think that prompting of like why that felt weird was to ask the question to the intel guy to find out what's going on, because I got shown something. And that was, he came back, you know, we were done with our operation after the shot was fired and killed the guy. You know, we got back from the helo, landed at our base. And that's when I, you know, approached the intelligence officer, like, please tell me, never done this before and never did it again afterwards. He came to me, our intel officer came a couple hours later. And he's like, hey, you want to come with me? I want to show you something. So I went with him to his little intel shack. And he pulled up something on the computer, and it was the guy that I just took out running ballistics, as in stabbing these workers, these Kittle Brown Aru, KBR logistic workers that go overseas, and they do like all our chow halls, run supplies to and from. And they kind of like develop the infrastructure for us to go over there and live, the toilets, stuff like that. And he showed me that, but he had like three or four KBR employees. They were all, I think they were guys from the Philippines, and they had them on stake. So there was a stake in their arms were, you know, tied behind their back with a stake, you know, in between their arms and their back. And they were doing ballistics on them. Some were getting stabbed. Some were getting shot in certain places on their legs. And they just kept amping it up until they were finally dead. And it was kind of like in that moment, you know, whatever callous was not there on my heart became completely callous. I'm like, you savages. It's like I got to see true evil, what that was. And I was like, and those images are forever, you know, in my brain. They don't haunt me or anything, but it gave me the reality of like, hey, this is what a human can do, especially when influenced by bad things.
Yeah.
Evil is evil. Evil looks like many different things. Evil is evil. You know what I'm saying? So it showed me that. And, you know, whatever I really believe, that weird feeling was not the shot itself. It was to get me to ask the question, please show me. And I got shown.
And you said the normal feeling when you would take someone out. So what was that normal feeling before?
It's just my job. It's just my job. Not like just my job. My heart posture was always good. Like, hey, let's take out the bad guys to save the good. It was never, you know, a bad feeling. It was just a job. It was like, it would be almost, I mean, some might say this is cruel and callous and that's okay. It would almost be the same as me making a sandwich. It was my job.
Yep.
I mean, it was my job. That's it. And I took pride in it, maybe a little bit too much pride. When I say maybe a little bit too much. I did, because my pride, my ego went up and Eddie could do no wrong. And then, you know, we get back home and then the problems and the trouble started stacking up one by one by one.
Yeah. And I think to go back to your ego and stuff, I think you have to be, I mean, I've never been in battle. I don't know what it's like. I'm not going to say that I'm an expert by it by any means, but I think you would almost have to be in that kind of mentality to get through those situations. I mean, you just have to drive down and get the job done.
Right? 100%. Yeah, 100%. But again, we that fine line between cockiness and confidence, right?
Yeah. But we still deal with today.
Yeah. And you kind of get that, like, man, no one can mess with me, because we owned the night. We had night vision goggles. The bad guys didn't. They do now because of our horrible withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But, you know, that we owned the night. That was kind of our motto, is we owned the night. We got to do – it allowed us to do things fairly safely. Again, war, it always didn't work out that. We still had incidences where we lost guys and got guys severely injured. But for the most part, we had the upper hand.
Let's move on to the night, unfortunately, where you lost your friend, where you had that voice that spoke to you. We don't have to go into the details of what happened, but just basically outline for the audience of the voice that you heard, and it basically prevented you from dying.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, we just a week before, we lost two of our guys in our same troop or a squad, the guys that we go over and, you know, take out the bad guys. A week later, we are on another compound, and I came over the radio. I was acting team leader, and I had my buddy Louie move up to the front door, or just off of the front door behind this big pillar. And I eventually went up there to help with it, because it was a big, who we were after used a lot of suicide vests and house-borne IEDs. So we were doing call-outs, which means we don't just go rushing into our death, we would say. We would try to get them to come to us, at least get the women and children out first. And there was just mass chaos. There was a couple shots. We were losing control. Again, war. You can't just say, this is how step one's going to go. This is how step two. No, you got to like flow like water in these scenarios. So moved him up there. I went up there to help him, and I put my hand on his shoulder, and there is just something. And I think I've told you this last time, I've had that Tom's disease, terrified of missing stuff. I always want to be in the action. If I'm not there, I am like down on myself. I'm like, man, I just missed out. Like I'm a failure. So I just felt this feeling. I heard this voice, not an audible voice, but to me, it was someone yelling in my ear, leave now, go behind the wall, get out of here. You're good. Leave, all these things. And I was like, I wouldn't say in a trance, but just like, it was a noticeable something was telling me to leave. And I was like, hey, buddy, you got this. I was on Louie. He's like, yeah, bro, I got this. Because we were starting to get stacked. We probably had six guys, which is not good if someone throws a grenade or a suicide vest goes off. I mean, that's too many casualties because we're all bunched up. We want to be more, you know, dispersed. So I was like, all right, man, I'm going to roll back behind the wall. And I was like, I love you, dude. And he goes, love you too, bro. So I rolled. Soon as I went back maybe 15 yards, 20 yards, behind this wall, the house explodes, and my buddy lost his life that night. That pillar that he was behind was holding up a big overhang, and that overhang kind of shifted over him and pretty much crushed him. I mean, his body, his bone structure was not there anymore. It was almost like it was jello. So, I wasn't a into faith, wasn't a Jesus follower, I believed in God, whatever that meant. I believe that there was a God, because I mean, we have like, you know, I grew up with it, and God we trust, you know, Pledge of Allegiance, right? We have all these things where we say, you know, we're putting God first, which is the biggest, honestly, joke. And I didn't get it. I wasn't diving into my faith, and I never really connected the dots until afterwards when I did get saved and did start walking, following Christ, is that I realized exactly what that was. And that was being, you know, our Lord saying, hey, you need to move out. And then, of course, the question arises, well, why not my buddy? Why me?
Yeah.
Why weren't we rotated? And, you know, I've also learned that not every question needs to be answered. I've got peace with it. I mean, I don't like the outcome of it, but I do know that behind the scenes he's working in all things. So we don't see all things, and that's a beautiful thing about faith. Not to be a cop out or anything, but that's just the way he works things. We can't see it all. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know what I'm gonna have for dinner.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I kind of forget what I just ate an hour and a half ago. So, well, I'm a human dude. I forget things. I mess up all the time. He does not.
Yeah. And this is the only way I kind of grasp those situations, especially when children and stuff are involved or something horrible happens. You know, I truly believe those folks, you know, their souls sign up for a job. And
right.
You know, when they come down and they fulfill that job for the perpetual, who knows, on the cosmic journey that we're on, this beautiful thing called life, on why that is. And one day when we get called up to the big leagues, I think it will all be revealed and say, oh, that's why 100%. That happened to lead me down. So that's how I get through it too. So you get home, which obviously different ball game, you know, you're in this high stress environment nonstop. Your engagement is just all the time. You get home and things are a little bit more quiet. So can you talk about the transition and the struggles that you had, Eddie, when you did get home?
It's funny you say you get home, things are more quiet. And I'm processing that. And I'm like, that wasn't the way it was, though. You would think that.
Yeah.
It was quiet overseas.
Really?
And it was louder when I got home.
And what was loud?
The chaos of life.
Wow.
And I wouldn't even say the chaos of life. It's the inability of me being able to process life. I was good to go overseas. I had a job to do. It was all about me. It was about my team. It was about the mission. That's easy. That was easy. Coming home and dealing with life, a spouse, children, emotions, feelings, tone of my voice, my demeanor in my face, how do I communicate? That. And it's not like it's a big deal, but it was to me because I honestly didn't know how to handle it. It was all about me. If you inconvenience me, shame on you.
You're back in boot camp.
And which led right to the drinking, right to the pill popping, numb me. I don't want to feel because I wasn't man enough to go face those problems.
Why do you think that?
I mean, that's what we do. That's what a lot of us do. When I say a lot of it, I mean, the vast majority of us, especially in this country, is we have these outlets, SSRIs, drinking, pills, other substances, food, shopping on Amazon, whatever it may be. We have these things instead of standing firm and be like, wait a second, I got to face this. Because the truth is, if you don't face it, it doesn't go anywhere. You got to face it. You got to rise up and you got to take it over and be like, wait a second, time out. And what I learned for me personally, walking through this, is like, I got to go to him. It's like, what am I supposed to do here? What am I supposed to do? And really, it was just working out these false beliefs and false thoughts that I had about myself and the situation I was in. And once I got the veil removed and I saw like what was going on, I was like, dude, I have been played for decades, and I was played, and many of us, and there's still areas of my life where I'm still played, where I believe certain things. We have these false beliefs. I mean, if you just, dude, look at our TV shows, look at our commercials, look what's socially accepted and socially normal. It's there's nothing normal about it. I mean, look, just for example, if somebody like you're watching a show and, you know, mom and dad get in an argument, what happens? Most of the times they yell, they scream, the kids are watching, dad leaves or mom leaves. One might go, you know, text someone else or run to the bar, belly up and start drinking. Kids see that. ah, that's what I'm supposed to do. I argue. I raise my voice. I go to the bar. Dad comes back smelling like bourbon. That's what you do. That's what you do when you're an adult. James Bond, another example.
Yep.
Running around, doing the mission, getting the girl, drinking nice drinks. We associate like, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be. It's not what you're supposed to be. That's what the world's telling you.
Yep. A program. It's brainwashing. I mean, it's conditioning. It's brainwashed. It's Pavlov's dogs. I mean, that's what people don't understand is you've been programmed ever, not even when you were born, before you were born, when you were in the womb.
Dude, it's all since the beginning. It's this. There's a fallen world.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not like, oh, like, you know, forget the world. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying this. Everyone honestly took a little bit of quiet time, looked at their life and the things that they do out of habits. Right. I mean, why do we drink coffee here in England? They drink tea.
Yeah.
Is that because tea's better? Coffee's horrible over there and tea sucks here and coffee's better here?
Yep.
No. It's because they were raised that way.
Absolutely.
I'm a Cincinnati Bengals fan. I promise you, I didn't pick that. I picked it because I was raised up on it. My dad, you know, was like, hey, we're watching the Bengals game. I was like, rock on.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's just an example. It's like, you know, you're raised up in it. If I was raised up in a family that says, you know, we hate the government nonstop, like, I can't believe those conservatives, guess what I'm going to believe?
Yep.
Until I'm old enough to really see the truth and make my own decisions. That's how we believe. I mean, the same thing overseas, dude. Those kids that are raised up under, you know, terrorists, they hate us. They can't stand us. I mean, there's just another army, you know, being in the factory, getting raised up and raised up and raised up. It's a never ending. It's been never ending since the beginning of time.
Absolutely.
So
like, go into your spiritual journey when you went to that retreat. I always laugh when I hear the story because you're kind of like what I would expect when I go to one of these, like, where's the cooler of beer at? Right.
Like, dude, so, I'm telling you, man,
go in like, cause it was your ex-girlfriend at the time, right? Your girlfriend. At the time?
No, it was my fiance at the time.
Your fiance. And she's like, well, you're going to this retreat. That's what she told me.
Technically, I think she threw the ring back at me before I went to this retreat.
Okay. And she's like, you got to go to this retreat. Right.
She's like, pretty much, but it was sold to me as like, you know, it's a bunch of dudes getting together, you know, you're going to, you know, it's going to be beneficial. You know, the PTSD thing was becoming big at the time and the trauma of war and all that stuff. So I'm like, hey, I've got nothing to lose. I have everything to lose here. Like I'm pretty low. I feel pretty low, but I didn't know it was this, we're talking about God. I mean, and I was, you know, kind of scared of God. I kind of viewed Christ as the boogeyman, you know, throughout my whole life. So I was like, when I got there, I was kind of a little bit of shock and awe. That's funny. But before I say this, I've said this before, like when I do speaking events or whatever, and guys will associate, oh, I've got to go to an event to get this experience and then I'll be okay. And that's not the truth. You can get it right then and there. You just need to change your life. You need to stop, get rid of the crap and start, you know, living the way that we're supposed to be living, not what the world says and not what your sinful nature wants to do, and quit being played. I mean, that's the truth.
That's this interview. This interview could change someone's life. That's why I wanted to bring
100%. Yeah. It's start not, now. You don't have to go do that's not, that's, yep. That's not true. But it was a Wild at Heart event. It was put on by True North Ministries. They're a satellite campus, but they use the curriculum that John Eldridge used out of Colorado Springs, I believe, Colorado, Wild at Heart. If you haven't read the book Wild at Heart, highly, highly recommend it. He's got a lot of good books, but he's a man's man. He speaks, you know, truth. We can understand with what he's going on. The religion is kicked out, and we kind of get down to the nitty-gritty. And dude, I was just, you know, they start off in these sessions, they talk about like father wounds, you know, how we're the men are the hero and women are the princess and how we're supposed to go save them. They're like born to like love. I mean, they gave the example. They just started giving these examples. I'm like, dude, I've never seen this. And where have I been? But they would talk about things or John would talk about things as like boys, you know, we grow up, we want to make forts, we throw sticks, we throw rocks, we play war in the woods. Like we do that. Girls, they want to have tea parties. They got Barbies. Like we are made differently. Like there is no cross contamination. Like we are boom and boom. And you can see it in children, unless they're being, again, raised up in a house that they're being corrupted.
Yes.
As I said, like I'm a Bengals fan because I was raised in a house. I love the Bengals. And not that there's anything with the Bengals besides the last like 25 years before the last couple. But he starts talking about this. I'm like, well, yeah, he's like, it's in your DNA. It's how you're created. It's how you're made. And he goes, if you just look at any movie, and everyone in the audience is going to do this right now. If you look at any movie, it's kind of like the layout of the Bible. Is you have a hero, you have a villain, and you have a love story. And that is the gospel. Is we've got Christ, our hero. We've got Satan, our enemy, and spiritual darkness. There's a lot more than just Satan going on. And then we have the love story, God's grace. And what all that does for us. So we have those things. And if you look at any movie, I mean, if you go to, God, just throw out a movie, any movie, throw it out.
Braveheart.
Braveheart. There you, perfect example. You've got the hero, Mel Gibson. You've got the villain. You've got, what is he? Is it Longshanks?
Yep.
And then the story of his country and the woman. You have a love story within this story is trying to get this country free, trying to get, you know, he's trying to, he lost his wife. And then, you know, he finds another love. And so it's in all the movies, even kids, like it's there. It is there. It's what we're wired to. Period. Look at your life.
Yep.
We want to be a hero. We want to save the day. We want to be the one that like, man, thank you so much for, you know, saving a baby or rescuing a dog from a creek. Like, dude, that's like a great day.
Yeah, going into a burning house and coming out with two kids in your hands and going back in and getting the other one.
Absolutely. Look at me, right? Yeah, yep. Like all these, like that's just the way we are. But he started explaining that. I'm like, man, dude, and I'm, of course, going through every movie I know. I'm like, okay, well, I can't find one. Still have not found one. But he started describing that. It's like, you know, for men especially, it's like we always wanted like our father to be like, you are the apple of my eye. And we have bad examples of fathers, and not to like trash fathers, like because I was that father as well and still can be at times. It's we don't have good examples.
Yeah.
Unless we look to him because he is the example and be like, okay, I need to be doing this. I need to, you know, come with love and compassion and not be this, oh, wipe it off with dirt and, you know, get over your pain as the guy's got a stick, you know, sticking out of his leg. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Absolutely. We don't know how to do that because we're dudes. Because what a dude say? I'll quit being wimp. Like rub it. Like you're fine. Move on. Like, no, dude, you're like developing wounds for these kids. And you're messing with it. Like I'm guilty. I'm definitely not saying it, but you start learning these things and you correct yourself and you start going, I mean, just like anything else in school, in sports, like, hey, don't catch the ball. Like catch the ball, then bring it to your chest. Don't just like try to one hand everything. We learn these things all the time. All the things. Like if I start choking on steak, okay, I need to chew my steak better. So it goes down and I don't look like I'm about to like, you know, a clucking chicken or something. So it's no difference. It's just making us a better person. We always talk about this self-improvement, but we're very choosy. I choose to work on this because it's easy for me. It's comfortable for me, but it's something uncomfortable. Like sitting in an emotional conversation with your spouse, dude, you got to like choose to want to engage in that. Choose to like want to break off whatever is holding you back from actually understanding, thinking about the other person's needs and not how you feel inside and caring about other people. Like that was the most difficult thing for me was to have a meaningful conversation with my wife. I can handle about 5 minutes and I'm like, dude, get me out of here. Like I'm jumping, crawling out of my skin. I can't handle this. There's too much emotion. I don't want emotion. I want to be numb to my emotion, which is why I was drinking all the time. But now I can have, you know, hours of conversation if need be. I mean, hopefully we don't get to that point, but can without being a problem, addressing your feelings, actually listening to what she says and not trying to come up with a quick response. Because we're so good at that as well. Like, oh, I'm gonna wait until it's my turn to say something. I got this one. And we're so hanging on what we want to say, we miss everything that other person says.
The power of communication. You're exactly right. Power of
communication, dude.
It's huge. And that's one thing that's missing, I think, in today's society with, you know, we can go into the theories and everything else with the phones and the kids and what they're watching. I mean, they're actually losing that art because I think it is an art. It's a learned behavior on how to effectively communicate and to listen. And it's not just instant gratification. It's deeper than that. And so like with, let's go into like, I guess the first conversation, the true conversation you had with God, when was that? Like, when did you kind of.
So was at that camp.
It was at that camp.
It was like session one. I can't remember what the session, but at the end of the session, they're like, hey, go find quiet time and go pray. And he said the P word, which is a 4-letter word. I was like, whoa, you want me to what? And he's like, just. And I'm sitting there and they give you like some questions to answer. Like, you know, I don't know what the questions were. I'd be making up something, but I went out there. I was like, you know what, dude, I'm here. I've got a lot of crap behind me. I really probably should maybe try something new because I can't keep trying the same thing and expecting a different result. I believe that's insanity. So I went out, I found a little outcropping of rocks. I sat down. And I don't know what I said, but I said something like, God, are you real? Or of course, isn't that like the normal question? Like, hey, show me you're real, you know, test it, whatever it may be. And soon as I did that, and I was genuinely, and I'm like, I mean, my heart posture was, please show me like just anything. I don't care if it was anything. And soon as I said that, man, I mean, soon as I said that, the sun rises, blasts me on my face, and I just feel this warmth go down my body, and my whole body is warm, but I have chills at the same time. And then, of course, my reasoning, well, that was just a coincidence. and I learned about coincidences. That moment is when I truly learned about coincidences. In that camp, that weekend, I probably had, man, probably 3 or 4 coincidences. And I've had many coincidences since, but there was, after that camp, there's a lot more things that happened, dude. I was just like, got broke down in tears, just talked, like, just like people were kind of like, just pointing out, you know, what the mercy was, what the grace is, what the cross really was, what, you know, just that whole spiritual thing, kind of like a shotgun blast of all this information, what was going on. And I was intrigued. I was like, man, okay. Because what I was doing was not working. My drinking, my pill popping, my anger, my running to the internet, that was not working for me. I was empty inside. There's got to be more to this life for me. I was like, I have nothing to lose, everything to gain. What do you have, Lord? And dude, he has been rocking my world ever since. He doesn't stop. He is relentless. He's relentless. The more you feed into him, the more he feeds into you. It is the coolest relationship I have ever been a part of. I've never felt so loved in my life. I didn't even know what love was. And I still don't know what true love is. Working for that as best I can. And I believe that's never. We don't ever find that until, you know, the end. But he is the true, you know, true father, the true teacher. He shows you in a gentle, loving, most perfect teachable way. Like, ah, thank you for showing me that. I choose to follow what you said. And we get rid of the ways of the world, dude. It's beautiful. And you see the blessings in your life. You see the fruit of the goodness. You see the goodness in your life.
And what people don't understand too is, you know, when you make that commitment, when you make that kind of that expression of vulnerability, I really feel that's when the work truly starts, right? Like it's not all sunshine and rainbows from there on out. Like you're going to get bombarded with the devil, right? The negativity, the evil, to constantly test you, to take you off your path because, hey, their sirens and everything are going off in hell. Like, we're losing one. We better put the full court press on this guy and bring him back and say, hey, Eddie, you don't really believe this. Come 100%. On. Here's the bottle. Here's those girls. Let's go back to the old self-destructive behavior. That's what you want. And that's where people like fail. And we all fail at this. I've failed many times. You have. We're going to continue to fail, but we fail falling forward, right? And that's what we have to realize is it's nonstop work on yourself because I mean, you and I, what, we're around 45, 46 years of age, right? We have 40 years of old programming that we still have to continue to overcome, right? That's always 100%. There. So we're just going to have to continue to work on those things. And that's where people have to understand. It's just not, you make a decision and it's, oh, it's easy from there on out. It's every day, folks. Would you agree with that, Eddie?
Dude, you said it perfectly. Is you reminded me of saying something. It's like bettering ourselves is we've got this habit in this society that we're in is it's always them. It's them. I can't believe them. How could they? And we never like look internally. We don't just hold up a mirror and look back and like, what am I doing? What am I doing? There's a prayer that King David talks about in one of the Psalms is like, search me, O God, and point out anything in me that offends you. So I remember reading, and I've read it, I don't know how many times, but when I actually read it, where it actually got into my heart, I was like, seatbelt on, show me. And he showed me again. Not in a condemning way, but a convicting way is like, hey, we need to fix this. It is like you tying your shoelaces together from your left shoe to your right shoe, and you're trying to walk, and a buddy comes up and like, hey, man, your shoelaces are tied together. Do you know that? Man, I did not know that. Thank you. So you untie your shoelaces. Problem is solved. We move on. And that's what he does. And when I saw that, Psalms 139, when I truly saw that, because we like to read, but we don't grasp, comprehend, let it sink into us to what he's really, really speaking. We like to read to complete, right? Guilty of that one as well. I was like, man, show me anything in me that offends you. Show me my anger. Show me my addictions. Show me my bondages. Show me how my kids look at me. Show me how my spouse looked at me. And you know what, dude? It disgusted me. I was disgusted to myself. I was like, I don't want this. Like, time out. Please stop. Take this away. What do you need from me? What am I supposed to do here? Please direct me. And it wasn't a lot at once. It was very, like I said before, very calm. Let's do this. And I just hit my just over 18 months. I think it was last week or the week before. And it was when I quit drinking, I mean, I was getting into the word and all that, but it was like the day after I quit drinking, it was like a veil was removed. It was like scales dropped from my eyes and I was starting to see clearer. Things made sense. I wasn't like bogged down. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. 100%. And it's funny to just go back to like when people are pointing the finger, they don't realize there's three pointing right back at them.
Right back at yourself, dude.
Right. So it's like the law of reflection. We see what's inside. And that's wild. I wasn't familiar with that prayer. That's deep, man. I mean,
it is end of Psalm 139. It's like take all my anxious thoughts and then point out anything in me offends you to make my path straight or whatever it is, because we don't know what we don't know.
Yep.
It's not like shame on you. That's not, you don't know what you don't know, but when it's revealed from Most High, like you can't trump it. It's like, okay, you get a choice. Like you get a choice. You choose to correct, go in the way of righteousness, or just keep living your way, which is perfectly accepted in the world we live in, which is why we don't think it's a big deal, because everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is a horrible example. Like, that's not who we should be looking at. It's literally the blind leading the blind. I mean, I'm like, well, my buddy goes to the bar all the time. So I mean, I'm cool. Like we do it all the time. As I spend every day for months up there, like that's not a good idea.
Yeah.
Highly don't recommend it. You know what I mean? It's unhealthy. You spend a lot of money and you get nothing done.
Yeah, it's funny. I interviewed a life coach, one of my mentors. He's a great guy, Joe White. And he has a pretty remarkable story about his cocaine addiction and everything else. He died. And, you know, he found his path. He's like, you know, putting me in a room with cocaine and girls is not a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, remove yourself.
Yeah, remove yourself. It's that awareness. And just like what you said, people don't know what they don't know. And when you don't know what you don't know, you can't have the awareness to change. But when you start to know that you don't know, that's when change can happen. That's when
that's on you. And again, it's all a choice. And you just don't know until someone points it out. And it's not like, I can't believe they called me. No, to be thankful. Yep. Like, do you want to go the rest of your life like this?
Absolutely.
Or do you want to improve for your, not only yourself, but your family? I mean, God, like the people you work with, like, dude, awesomeness is contagious. Like, man, I want to be like that. Like, that's it's sexy.
Yep.
It is. Like, someone that's got their stuff together, you're like, man, I want to be around that. You don't want to be around people that are jerks.
That's awesome. You just said that. Like, not the sexy part, but also if you're in a relationship where your significant other loves you and they've been through the ringer with you and seen the worst of you and seen you under the influence of alcohol and the stupid shit you did and everything else, and you switch that, the respect, the love that you'll receive will be just astronomical, and you won't even realize it until you make that switch. And then they start to look at you differently, especially with the fall through and everything else. And that's powerful.
100%, dude.
I mean, 100%. That starts the addiction of bettering yourself, is being addicted to that life of what you want to become and everything else. Eddie, what do you do, like your daily rituals of success or habitual patterns? What does your life consist of every day when you wake up? What time do you wake up? What do you do throughout the day? Do you exercise, drink water? I mean, what is your daily activities, brother?
Normally, I'm not going to say every day because that would be a big old foolish lie, is usually majority of the time, like I'd say probably 95%. I get up around 5 and I get my coffee and I sit down and I dive into the word. I journal. I read the Bible.
What do you, when you read the Bible, how do you do it? Do you have like a message of the day that pops up, or do you just, what's your approach?
I used to, you know, to be quite honest with you, man, I listen to the Holy Spirit and I'm guided that way. I used to be like, all right, I want to do the New Testament. I'm going to read through the New Testament. All right, I need to go back to John. I want to read the John. Okay, I need to go see what's up with King David back in the Old Testament. I want to concentrate. That's what I used to do. I don't do that anymore. Usually what I do is I sit down and I'll write out a question. What do you want me to do today? And I just, whatever I get first is what I go with. As long as it's jiving with what his word. But you know, sometimes I don't read. Sometimes I sit there and pray. Sometimes I sit there and journal. Sometimes I sit there and I prepare for, we do battle preps. We call them weekly for our Unafraid Patreon page. I'll start digging into the like, scripture on that and prepare like a brief message. Cause it's a group talk. Sometimes I'll do that. And sometimes I'll just sit there. Sometimes I'll just give thanks to my family. It changes all the time, but I go to him first. And I'm like, what do we need to be working on? What do you have for me? And I give thanks to him, start in prayer and then, you know, go to reading or continue journaling. It depends, but it's usually that. And I'll do that for, man, depending on weekend or not, sometimes I can do that for an hour to 4 hours. Sometimes mornings are really good. That's my favorite time. You know, everyone's asleep. It's my quiet time. Get the dog dishes down. And I just sit down there, drink my coffee, and I just like spend my time with him. I remember hearing this, like, yeah, just spend time with God. I was like, cool. Great advice, bro. And I'm like, what does that even mean? And I finally understand what that means. I never got that. I never truly meant, I didn't know what that meant until I did. I'm like, man, how was I living without this? Like, I don't understand. And now that I have it, I'm like, man, I don't, just keep me close to you. Like I'm here. I'm staying. I don't want to leave. And he just gives you such clarity, such a good mindset, just such a good heart posture, that you just want to do good for other people. You want to, you know, do good for yourself, because we can talk all day long about this or that, you know, positive things. But if you're not walking it and you're not an example, you're a hypocrite, you're a poser, you're a fraud. That's worse. Amen. I mean, you got to walk it. You got to walk it. And a lot of people are afraid to walk it. I remember, you know, you're talking about the voices. It was probably about 2 years ago. I was in the gym and I was going through my playlist. I was trying to find a good song, probably like Disturbed or something. Trying to find a good song.
Stupid.
And yeah, right. Plenty of that, dude. And I just hear this voice again, and I'm very familiar with this voice. And I just hear, "Talk about me." And I was like whistling, walking away, ignoring that one because I knew what was going on. I'm like, yeah, ignoring that. And I ignored it, and I didn't do anything about it. And it was probably a couple of days later, a week later, "Talk about me." And this happened for a couple months. I would keep hearing it. And I think maybe one or two posts, like on Instagram when I was all over media, I would you know, put like hashtag Christ or hashtag God, you know, strength, whatever. And until one day he goes, "Why aren't you talking about me?" I just got chills.
Yeah, me too. Man. Like I'm scared that you're not talking about him.
I know.
You get struck by lightning.
And I was like, and I go, "Here's why." And I told him why. And I was like, "There's part of shame with me is I don't think I'm good enough.
Ah.
I'm afraid to be held accountable.
Yes.
I don't want to talk about you when I know what I do behind closed doors. I don't want to talk about you because I know that I'm going to be judged more than others because I speak of you. Because not only am I representing myself, I'm representing you, and you're way bigger than me. That's why I didn't talk about him." And then he just, man. He's so cool. He just comforted me. He's like, "You stay in me. I'll stay in you. Don't worry about it." He's like, "We got this." I was like, and I trusted him. That's the thing we always hear. You always hear John 3:16, "Those who believe in me," right? Those who believe. Well, that "believe" word is more than just, "Oh, I believe in them. I raised my hand one time at church." No, believe means faith. It means belief, and it means trust. And if I trust in you, I'm going to do what you say. And I'm going to do, you know, the things. I'm not going to do what the world says or what I want to do, my fleshly self wants to do, or what I think is right. I'm going to do what you say. And a lot of it doesn't make sense in the moment. It does afterwards, always hindsight, right? It doesn't make sense, or it might seem like it's, keyword seem like it's going to be difficult. Like, I can't quit drinking. Oh, I could never get up internet, the internet, the filth on the internet.
Yeah.
Until you do, and he shows you this revelation of like clarity, purity. And you're like, my gosh, like the thoughts stop, the evil thoughts, the disgusting thoughts, the tainted thoughts that haunt us all, they start going away, and you start thinking clearer, you start acting clearer, you start speaking clearer, you start leading your family better. And I haven't left since. Now, do I have bad days and believe bad thoughts sometimes? Or yeah, I'm still a dude, but I don't go, if I go far, it's for like an hour. Like, "Oh, my bad. Sorry, back on path." It's like, I'm a little off, he gets me back on path. I'm a little off, he gets me back on path. And that's it. It's not this, okay, we're going right back around where we were. There's none of that. I'm not backsliding. It's like leaning on him. I'm trusting in him. Even when I don't understand, which is the stand firm, which is the men piece, which is the warrior piece. That's it right there. Standing firm in the storm. I'm not going back. What do we got? That's a man.
And that's, people need to hear this, because they tend to think it's a straight line and you don't sail from California to Japan. You're going to get off course.
Yeah.
But as long as you have that vision, you have that goal, whatever you're trying to accomplish, you're going to get back on course, whether there's a storm, there's a hurricane, something breaks, or, hey, look, just keep going forward. I mean, that's what people don't understand. And I think that's where people get, you know, frustrated with themselves, is because you're going to make mistakes. You're going to fail. But it doesn't mean you quit.
Correct. You got to walk. We don't understand this. It's like, I call it the valley. It's like when we're in the valley, you know, the valley, like, this sucks. Like, you know, argument with the wife or the job or, you know, some kind of health issue. Is when we're in that valley, that's where the strength is built. That is where you prove what you have or what we need to work on. Because when you pull yourself out of that valley, you get to look back and like, man, did you cower down and run to the bottle so you could suppress what was going down? Or did you stand firm and take it what it is? And instead of saying, man, this sucks, shame, like I'm a victim, instead of, and you could take the other stance of like, Lord, what are you trying to teach me right now? And get taught. I mean, we go to the gym, right? We work out. We strain our muscles. We rip. We tear them by throwing this weight on. And they're getting wrecked. And then afterwards, we should have good rest, good hydration, good food. And what happens to our muscle? It repairs itself and gets built back stronger. But you had to go through the valley. You were training hard and hard and hard and hard. And now we're recuperating. And now you're stronger and you go get it again. It's the same thing. Nothing's changed. We see the same thing in the military, in the boot camp. Day one and the last day are two different people. They had a lot of running, a lot of push-ups, a lot of screaming. They're like, dude, this sucks. But afterwards, the finished product is way better, more discipline, way more respect, better manners, more confidence than the dude on day one. But when it's something else in our life, we're like, I can't believe this is happening to me. Be quiet. Really? You poor thing. It happens to us all. It's not just you. A lot of people will think it's you. The enemy likes to make it think it's you and isolate you to where you do get so bad. You're drinking, taking pills, and maybe to that point where you're picking up a pistol and put it to your eye socket. That's the goal. You can't let it happen. You got to focus on the truth, which is not the valley.
Amen, dude. Amen.
God's awesome.
Oh, it's and that's why I knew having you on, like, this conversation is going to help somewhere, someplace, a family. I don't know. I just know that you just never know what a conversation will bring, a small act that may literally change the lives of millions tomorrow. I mean, that's how powerful conversation is, in allowing people to know, like, hey, you're not alone. You never were. Correct. You may think Correct. You're alone, but you're not alone. There is a bigger power that is in charge of things, and you just have to let go, let God.
And he's awesome. And he's a friend. He's not that. He ain't that. He is not that.
Eddie, is there anything else you'd like to say to the audience before we get off today? Your closing remarks, brother.
Man, I would just, you know, obviously speaking from experiences is going back to the you. You know, we talked about the fingers pointed back at ourselves I know that other people can be cruel. I know other people are fault for certain things. But if you take a mindset, a stance in all situation, whatever going on, and then I was taught this isn't something that Eddie thought of. One of my mentors taught me is if you are doing the right thing by your choices, by the way you speak, by your tone, by your mannerisms, by your actions, if you're doing the right thing up and down, like I'm good with what the Lord, like what the Lord has like taught me to do, and I'm doing those things, I'm okay because I can't help what's going on around me. I have no control over those circumstances. I can't help if someone says this or says that, or if they do this or do that. But what I can help is what I say, what I do. So a lot of us, again, guilty, a lot of us will hear someone say something to us and we think it gives us the right to come back there and spew venom all over their face. That ain't true. That's called a weak person. A strong person would be like, man, I feel sorry for this person. They're dealing with some things. They got some anger issues. Maybe they don't have the full scenario. Maybe they have a bad day. Maybe we don't know they were diagnosed with cancer yesterday and they just found out and they have no idea how to deal with it right now. We have no idea what's going on. But we start going back and forth. We make situations worse. Is I would like, not to be, to throw out the challenge, but I would challenge people. It's like, hey, look at yourself. Like, you don't need to throw a comment out to be right, to prove yourself. Who are you proving it to? That makes you look insecure. And just do things right. No matter if people are doing things wrong. Dude, there's another thing. Sorry.
No, you go, buddy.
I always heard, you know, you hear about love, but I guess there's like these different loves in the Greek. And one of them is agape love, A-G-A-P-E. I remember hearing this in church all the time. I'm like, can we please move on to things that are actually going to benefit me? Again, hypocritical Eddie over here. And again, once it finally sunk in what that was, agape is like Jesus love. It's like in all things, like it's not, I'm going to show love when it's convenient for me. I'm going to show love regardless of the circumstance in all situations. Wrap your mind around that. In all situations, I'm going to show love. In some situations, I want to show this to this and do that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like think of that. That's called self-control. Self-control is one of the coolest things if you get that. That's self-control. I want to say this, but I'm not. Because I know it's not going to help the situation. Now, does the other person deserve it? I don't know. And I don't know what you're going to say. But having that self-control, well, they did this, so I get to go do that. No, dude. No, you don't. I mean, you can, but you're no better than them. I don't care if they did that first, and this is retaliation. You're a child. So I would challenge dudes like, hey, focus on you to better yourself. Because the better you are, everything around you gets better. You always hear the thing, you can see this in our government. We're all about this country and that country. It's like, dude, you've got to worry about your own house first. Just like I can't go over to my neighbors or to my buddies down to the, you know, the next neighborhood. Like, hey, you guys need to fix this chaos in this house. And then I go back to my house and I have the same chaos. I'm out there preaching that they need to do this, but I'm dealing with the same thing. Again, you're a poser, you're a fraud. I need to take care of my own house first before I can speak into others. And there's nothing wrong with encouraging each other, but you know what I'm saying? Especially when it comes to the government level. It's like, we're so like this, and then all the agendas and all these things. Say, dude, look at yourself first.
Yeah.
Check this out first. Be the example. People will take on. I promise you.
And we used to be the example. Unfortunately, we're no longer. And I like what you said, especially with the relationship is, you know, there's a lot of folks out there, you know, going through the pandemic and stuff like that. A lot of relationships were altered where they were canceled. They were struggling. A lot of people went to addiction to get through that. But, you know, what people have to understand is if you're going through relationship problems and hey, look, work on yourself. We always have a tendency to say it's the other person. But 9 times out of 10, when you start to work on yourself and improve yourself, you're going to see that's contagious.
Yeah. And by a simple, dude, this is so hard for me with my, you know, the pride that has been being stripped away I'm getting way better at saying, hey, I'm sorry for what I said, or I'm sorry for acting this way, or I'm sorry for my tone, or I'm sorry I did not respond. Whatever it is, I was being quick to like apologize. Because again, the things I'm speaking, I do for myself as well. As like, man, you know, she did say that was not cool. Or he said that was not right by any means, you know, but I wasn't acting out in love. I wasn't being compassionate. I wasn't being cool. I wasn't trying to be understanding for their needs. I was only thinking about Eddie and I apologize. It doesn't mean that they're right or wrong. That's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what, man, I missed the mark on that one. I could do better and I will do better. I'm sorry. And there's nothing that is good is when people apologize to me. I'm like, man, dude, I appreciate that. I really do. And I'm like, now that you said that to me, I owe you one as well, because yeah. I can handle this scenario a little bit better. And that's okay. That's the refining process. That's the getting better in yourself and quit being prideful. Is like, oh, nothing's wrong with me, man. That's the first thing that's wrong with you is that you think that.
Absolutely. Eddie, where can folks find you, like the Eddie Penny Tribe? I know you're doing some stuff online and you have like your organization that you're building. Where do people go if they're like, man, I need to follow this guy. I need to join his team. Where do they go, stud?
Yeah, if you go to, I'd say like, you know, base is eddiepenny.com. That's where everything's on there. We got our unafraidshop.com. It's from there. Our shop is on there for all our gear. And then you can become a member of ours. We got a Patreon page. We do weekly talks. We call them battle preps.
And go into that a little bit, like with the battle preps, and if they want to be a member, what does that consist of?
So it started off with as a Bible study, but that's not what it is. we do take scripture because that is the only truth that we really have, period. Everyone else is throwing a twist over here or a twist over here that goes with their agenda. We all, you know, we're talking about this truth. We got the truth. It's the thing called the Bible. It hasn't changed and it won't change and it has not changed. It's still the same today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. And it teaches us. But we take real life scenarios of what is going on, the things that we deal with, the things that we struggle with, and we'd be like, all right, let's lay this out there. And, you know, you mentioned the transparency, and guys are extremely transparent. And, dude, guys are quitting smoking, quitting drinking, quitting running to the internet. They're like starting to rise up, be men, standing firm. And I got to be honest with you, man, it's not easy. It's not easy. It's like we want this instant gratification pill. I pop it. Ah, there it is. Which is why Big Pharma's reeking. Like it's taking over. It's getting the funds, baby.
Yeah.
But a lot of these things, when I say a lot, I mean a lot of these things is root of an issue based off of belief or traumatic experience that we've had that we just need to go through and take care of it. By acknowledging it was there, forgiving people, that's another huge one. Dude, that cures cancer, forgiveness. Dude, that forgiveness piece, man, that will wreck you. That will wreck you. But stuff like that, and guys are getting healed, and they're getting better, and they're becoming better fathers, better leaders, better mother. I mean, it's awesome. So we do that weekly, and we just encourage each other, and we talk about the real stuff. We don't be like, I have no problem. No, dude, I lay out all my problems. I usually use my life as an example because I've got plenty of problems to talk about. So we all do.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, we just walk through it and it's accountability. We get refined, man. It's good stuff, dude. It's so funny. When we started, I was like, I do not want to do this. I asked the guys, I'm like, hey, do you guys want to do like a Bible study maybe like once a month? They're like, yeah, sure. So we did once. We did like one. That was like reading scripture. And then like, and it started morphing and now we like, there's like a little message. And then we talk about like what it is. We like get the group involved and there's like kind of homework assignments where you can choose to do or not. It, you know, again, it's your choice. If you want to get better, it's your choice. But dude, like it's insane just how men have just opened up and what's been going on. But now we just, we're taking it to a new level. I'm like, love when Tuesday nights come now. I'm so excited because we moved it from once a month to every week. And initially I was like, this sucks because I don't want to deal with this more things, right? And now when Tuesday rolls, I am so amped. When Tuesday ends, I'm like, is it Tuesday yet? Like Tuesdays are my day now. And it's a blast, dude. We have a lot of fun.
And that lets you know that you're on the right path.
100%, dude. It's a good, and we get refined because, you know, going back to things, show me what offends you. Like it's shown weekly.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, dude, you got to walk through a period. If you've got, like you said, dude, 40 years of all this going on, you got to walk through some darkness to get to that light on the other end.
In the valley, baby.
In the valley. And that's all right, dude. Man up.
Absolutely. Brother, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you. All of us watching appreciate you, man. Like, just, this is going to change some lives, man. It truly is. And we're going to cut up this video and we're going to continue to post all these clips over the next month. Obviously, we talked about this. We're going to collaborate and we're going to combine the Grassroots Army and the Unafraid merch. And we're going to open up the merch store here in a month, folks. Tony at the AZ Business Solutions team is going to put together some great lineup of merch for all of us. And we're proud to be partnering with the Unafraid and Eddie Penny crew, man. I mean, this is just fantastic. It's good energy. It truly is. So, brother, thank
we
you.
We all need
so
brother.
Thank you for coming on, man.
Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, bro. See you later. Wow. Holy cow. I love that guy. He is like one of my heroes. Again, go to anypenny.com. Follow him if you want to join his group. Please do. His book is phenomenal. Unafraid. You can order it on Amazon. Just type in Unafraid, Eddie Penny. It will come up. Here's what it looks like. It's phenomenal. And I urge all of you, I know that was an hour long interview, but if you really want to get his entire story, 5 hours of this guy, go to Sean Ryan on YouTube, the Sean Ryan Show. type in Eddie Penny with Sean Ryan. It will come up. It's 5 hours long. Little Bites of the Elephant with it. It took me a while to get through it, but man, it was worth every second of my time, which moves me into the chaos and the insanity of our world today. That's why, you know, we're into the third pillar right now. January was the physical pillar. Last month in February was the mental pillar. Now we're into the spiritual pillar. And then in April, we will be doing the financial pillar. The four pillars of being Grassroots Army Strong to equip you and your family to take on whatever comes your way. Folks, we are in election year. We can already see it. It's insane of what's going on right now. But you have to be alert. We're never, never, never going to get blindsided again like we did during the pandemic. You have to be alert. You have to prep up. That's why the month of May will be prepper month. We're going to be bringing on personalities, and I'm reaching out to a couple authors right now to come on the show to talk about prepping, about, you know, in any disaster scenario, EMP strike, solar flare, another pandemic, whatever that may be, you have to be alert. And I know that prepping can be overwhelming because if you watch some of these personalities, they go all in, and these folks are prepped for the next 100 years, and it can be overwhelming. My advice to all of you is start small. Most folks out there aren't even prepped for a week. You don't even have enough food and water for a week if the grid went down. So if you're one of those people, just that's your goal. Prep so you and your family can survive 1 week. And after you get done with a week, you're like, you know what? Maybe 2 weeks. Maybe I can do 3 weeks. Maybe I can do a month. You take little bites of the elephant. And over time, pretty soon, you have accumulated a nice little prepping survival kit for you and your family. All right. It can be very cost effective. That's why on Prepper Month, I'm going to direct you to places where you can buy things that are legit, that are affordable, right? So you can add to your prepping survival kit. And that kit may be a little one or maybe a room full. I don't care, but you have to start prepping. You really do. And if you never use it, so be it. At least you can lay your head down every single night and not have to worry. And if things go south, hey, you're ready for it and you're going to give yourself a better chance. And one of the essential things that you need in any prepping kit, backpack, room is antibiotics. One small move, one cut can lead to infection. And if you don't have antibiotics and other life-saving medications, that little cut can fester into something very, very bad. And that's why the Grassroots Army has teamed up with the Wellness Company to bring you your life-saving medical kit. So I want to share with all of you this video of why this is so important. Here we go.
Mysterious pneumonia outbreak in Wuhan, China.
A new type of coronavirus.
The number of affected countries has tripled.
The World Health Organization has just declared that this is a pandemic.
I have signed an executive order to extend and expand Michigan's stay home, stay safe order. For the next 3 weeks, we have to take these important actions. The goal here is simple. Stay home, stay safe, save lives. This will be temporary.
Watching those clips of the pandemic still fuels my anger of what happened and how it was handled. And I know a lot of you feel the same way. All of us learned some valuable lessons going through the pandemic. What people will do, how they'll act, the panic, the anxiety, which leads to the destruction people can cause. One thing's for sure, I never want to be unprepared again. I do not want to put myself or my loved ones in danger because I wasn't prepared. So let's take it a step further. Are you prepared for another pandemic, an EMP strike, solar flare, or even from our own corrupt government? Because in an instant, it all can be taken away. One of the supplies that is a necessity is having access to antibiotics, because one simple cut, one wrong move can literally put you or a loved one in extreme danger. The Grassroots Army has teamed up with the Wellness Company, and you can have access to a life-saving medical emergency kit. This emergency medical kit includes several different antibiotics, antiparasitic, ivermectin, antifungal, and even an anti-nausea. Critical supplies when you or loved ones need it most. All you have to do is go to this web address, www.twc.health/grassroots, and add the emergency medical kit to your cart, put in your information and your payment, along with adding the discount code GRASSROOTS to get $30 off your order. After you check out, you'll be asked to fill out a medical intake form where the licensed doctors will prescribe you the emergency medical kit. 2 to 3 weeks later, your kit will arrive and you can sleep better knowing that you are prepared. So prep up and order right now. And in the description of this video is the website. Okay, so click on that. It's www.twc.health/grassroots. And if you put in the coupon code, it's going to give you 10% off or whatever you order. But for the medical emergency kit, you'll save $30. I ordered mine. I have mine at home. I strongly encourage you. That is one item that I vouch for that you need. You just, it's a necessity, folks. You have to add that. So go to that website, order your kit. You'll go through the process. In 2 to 3 weeks, it'll be arriving in the mail. And what I talked to the CEO, Peter, about was the life shelf, if stored properly. These things last for over a decade, 80%. So that is good to know. A lot of times that the FDA will say it's just 1 to 2 years of the shelf life. But if you store them properly from the CEO's mouth, it will last up to a decade. So that is worth your investment just to have, because like I said, one small cut can fester into something nasty. And you just want to make sure that you're prepared. That is for sure. So again, we have a lot of great content coming your way. Spiritual Month is in full effect. Eddie Penny, can't thank him enough. Our Grassroots Army store will be open here in the next month, where we're collaborating with Eddie and the Unafraid brand, and we're going to create some great merch because I just love what that guy has to say. Just an unbelievable story. And then obviously we're going to go into the financial pillar, which is going to strengthen your finances, because all of us are hurting right now financially with what's going on out there with inflation, the rising prices and everything else. You have to start adding extra sources of income. You can't just depend on your primary job anymore, your job. You have to get creative. We're going to talk about some things. I'm going to talk the things that I've done in the past, what I'm doing right now, but you have to have multiple sources, and it's easy. It's not that hard. Don't be intimidated by it. You all have something special out there to offer, whether that be your own personal experience, your ability to communicate. We're going to talk about all that next month, and I'm going to be leading that because I believe very strongly, even before this clown show started, in having multiple sources of income, and it's needed now more than ever. All of you that are watching right now are feeling the pain. We all are. It's just, you have to budget, you have to live beneath your means, and you have to add those extra sources of income. And with the access to our phones and social media and the ability to sell on social media and monetize things, I've done it all, been very successful at it. So I want to share my knowledge with all of you so you can start that process. And you know what? Hey, even if it's only $100 to $200 extra a month, that makes a big deal to a lot of people out there. That's groceries. And so that's what I'm going to teach you to do. Don't fall into these kind of get rich quick schemes. Like, you can be $10,000 a month. That's very rare. But hey, you know what? I'm going to teach you how you can make $50, $100, $200 a month extra. And that's going to help you put food on the table. It's going to help with bills. And it's going to take a little bit more of those stress bricks out of your backpack so you can sleep well at night. So a lot of great things happening. Okay. So continue to grind. And always remember, the power of one can lead to the power of many. That's how powerful you all are. So God bless you. God bless the state of Michigan, of course, and always God bless these United States. Please share this video. There's so much great content that people need to hear. And that is how you make change in people's lives, is just allowing them to have something to listen to that may change their lives. And you never know. One share, one conversation can literally change that person's life. Have a great day, everyone. Until next time.